our line-by-line, verse-by-verse study in the Bible now takes us to the book of Joshua. Of course, Joshua follows the book of Deuteronomy, which we covered in 2016. And in Deuteronomy, Moses dies. God takes him up on top of Mount Nebo, and Moses dies. But before Moses dies, he takes Joshua, his assistant, and he sets him in front of the people, and he tells the people to respect him and encourage him. And then he turns to Joshua and says, "Be strong and courageous." And that becomes the theme for Joshua's life, that he would be strong and courageous because everywhere that he would go, God would go along with him as well. The book of Joshua also becomes an example to us of the deeper life with Christ. The children of Israel were called out of Egypt, and they wandered around in the wilderness, and God worked with them while they were, and God disciplined them, and they had struggles and difficulties. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that those things happened to them as an example to us. In other words, they were a negative example, that we wouldn't lust after the things that they lusted after. We wouldn't live after the way that they would live. Then we come to the book of Joshua. John Corson has always said, God didn't call you out of Egypt so that he could leave you out. He called you out so you could go in. He called you out of Egypt that he could call you into the promised land, that you could make sure it's not just about being delivered, it's about receiving what God has for us. And the book of Joshua becomes an example of that deeper life. And it is profound and it's interesting once you get into the details of the way that they take the land, the battles that they had, the struggles that they had, how they had to rely upon God, the failures that they have, how much that speaks of our lives as we serve and live for him. How much that speaks of our lives as we desire to walk in that deeper walk, to walk closer with him, to discover what God really intended with not life and to not just settle in. Now, you look at the title of the book, and the title of the book is Joshua. Of course, Joshua is the Hebrew name for the Greek name Jesus. When Jesus was a baby, his mother called out Joshua, or when he was a child, calling him in for dinner, she called out Joshua, and he would come into the house. And Joshua in the Old Testament is a type of the New Testament Joshua as well. Even as Joshua will lead them into the promised land, it is Jesus who has led us into the promised land. It is Jesus who faced the cross, faced the garden, who faced the difficulties and the struggles, that he would be strong and courageous to do all that God had called him out to do. But this Old Testament Joshua is interesting. We learn three things about him before we ever get to the first verse of the book of Joshua. We know that he's Moses' assistant, but we know, first of all, that he had a heart for God. The Bible says in Numbers, I think it's Numbers 33, check my notes here. The Bible says in Numbers 33 that they set up a tabernacle of meeting and that Moses would go out and meet with God and that God would speak face to face with Moses. What kind of a relationship must Moses and God have had to have that kind of a relationship, to be able to talk face to face? And it's there that the Bible talks about Moses' face glowing and that he had to put a veil over his face so the people wouldn't see the fading glory. And boy, that speaks of a lot. If we can spend time with God, then there is the glory of God that is revealed in us. The Bible talks about the mystery of the glory of God that's in us as Christians. But the Bible would say that the pillar of fire would leave, the presence of God would leave, and that Moses would leave and go back home again. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which meant he had no parents. No, I just had to throw that in because it's a bad joke. That Joshua, the son of Nun, stayed behind. He didn't leave the temple. He had such a heart and such a desire for God that he wanted to be where God was. I think when we look at usability by God, what is it? What is it that makes people usable by God? What kind of people does God call, empower, and use? I think the very first and most important thing is to love God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, is to desire him, to want to be with him, to want to draw closer with him, to want to walk with him. I find it interesting that Moses' relationship is not the relationship that Joshua had with God. Moses had his unique relationship and Joshua had his unique relationship. And God calls us and empowers us, each one individually, uniquely, to use us as he does. But it all starts off in that love relationship with God, wanting to be there with him, wanting to talk with him, wanting to draw closer with him. If you find yourself at a distance from God, if you find yourself in a dry time in your life, if you find yourself in a wilderness experience, the answer is always to draw closer to God. The answer is to spend time praying with Him, loving Him, being committed to Him, grappling with the issue until you receive it. Getting a hold of it and saying, God, I want what you have for me, and I want to live the way that you want me to live, and I want to know you and I want to love you. And I love the fact that Joshua just stayed behind. The second thing that we learned about Joshua is that he was a man of perseverance. You remember in, I think it's Exodus 18, maybe Exodus 17, you remember that Moses, the Amalekites attack Israel, and Moses tells Joshua to get an army ready and to go down and meet the Amalekites. So he goes and meets the Amalekites. Moses climbs up on top of the mountain, and Moses holds his hands up in the air. And as long as Moses' hands are up in the air, the staff of God in his hand, as long as he holds it in the air, then Israel wins. But when his hands grow weak and weary and tired, and he begins to drop them, then the Amalekites begin to prevail. And so Aaron, his brother, and Hur, another one of the priests, come alongside of Moses. They grab a rock and they set it down. They set him on it and they hold his hands up so that Israel prevailed continually. Boy, there's so much there in that picture. First of all, that Moses would represent interceding or represent prayer, would represent Jesus who is holding our hands up in our lives, and that we will prevail. But also Joshua, who faithfully fought in the battle, knowing that what he did was connected, maybe even not knowing, but what he did being connected to what was taking place up on that mountaintop. How many times in our lives is what we're involved in on a daily level connected to what we face up on that mountaintop? Also, the importance of praying for one another, lifting up one another, and the importance of coming alongside of each other and holding each other's arms up, encouraging one another, being the kind of men and women, the kind of encouragers that God wants us to be. Finally, the last thing with Joshua that we learn before we even get to the book is that Joshua was a man who trusted and believed in God, even when things looked different. You remember there were 12 spies that were sent into the land to spy it out. Moses brought them out of Egypt and brought them to the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to Abraham and his descendants forever. And they went in, and they saw that it was a good land flowing with milk and honey. They brought out a bunch of grapes that had to be carried between two people, right? But they said, there are giants in the land, and there are fortified cities, and there's no way that we can take it. And they refused to go in. And you remember that Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, God has given us the land. And yes, there are fortified cities. And yes, there are giants in the land. But God will fight for us. Some of them said, they're giants, they're too big. And Joshua said, they're giants, they're too big to miss. All right? He trusted and he believed that God was able to do it. Well, the children of Israel refused to go in. And now, 40 years later, after the children of Israel have been scattered in the wilderness, Joshua, the one who trusted God before, now stands at the brink of bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. That's what we find in Joshua chapter 1, a young man who has been proven in the smaller things, and that's a spiritual principle, right? When you are faithful in the smaller things, God makes you faithful in more. The Bible says, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Trust in God, and God will take you from there to other places. And so now Joshua is called by God, and this is kind of his coronation, his commission. So verse 1 of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of the people of the land that I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So the first thing that he says to him, he calls him. And the call upon his life is to go and do what God's called him to do. Each one of us who are believers, who are Christians, have a similar call in our lives. Jesus called all 12 of the disciples. He walked up to Matthew while he sat at the tax collecting table and said, "Follow me." He walked up to Peter, James, and John when they were mending their nets and said, "Follow me." By the way, it wasn't the only time that he called them to follow him. He had said to Peter at one point, "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." God not only saves us, not only do we have a relationship with him, not only does he save us, but he calls us. And each of us have a task that we are to do. Each of us has a race that we are to run. Whatever I'm trying to say. So each of us has a race that we have to face and run, and they're all different. And so Joshua is called by God, first of all. And the first thing that God says to him is, "Everywhere you put your feet, I will give you." What a picture of God's presence, and what a picture of God's victory, and what a picture of living by faith. That if I will take a step of faith to see what God's going to do, that God will meet me there. I believe that God waits for us to live by faith. And sometimes God has given us whole territories, and we are so content to stay just in one small area and to not find all that God has for us. I love that Joshua goes out and takes the land that God's giving him. Now, he doesn't take it completely. He doesn't take all of the land that God's given him. As we read on here, he gives him his borders. By the way, this isn't the only borders that God promised to the nation of Israel. This is one of the several lists. Sometimes the borders were much bigger, and sometimes the border were much smaller, and they never take all the land that God had given them. But if they had enough faith to go out and walk among all of this land, they would have received it. And so he gives them the borders. He says in verse 4, "From the wilderness of Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all of the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you." Now that's a huge area. All the way over to the river Euphrates is today, that is the border between Iraq and Iran. He gives them far more territory than Israel has today. Up towards the north, he gives them far more to the south and far more to the west, all the way from the Great Sea, which would be the Mediterranean Sea. But God says, "Everywhere that you go, I will be with you." Not only that he would walk out by faith, and everywhere that he puts his feet, he would receive that land, but everywhere that he goes, God is there. That's the great promise for us, isn't it? As Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." That wherever we are, whatever we do, that Jesus is with us. That relationship, we talked about Joshua just wanting to be where God was, just having that love relationship for him, having that passion for him, but also wanting to have that relationship with Jesus. Just being in love with him, knowing that everywhere that I go, God will be with me. And whatever God calls you to do, I can't help but think that there are some young men, young women here, and God's calling you. He's got a call upon your life, and you're wondering if you should respond to it. What a perfect time, what a perfect study for you to be in, to know that God will be with you wherever you go and whatever you step out to do. And so God told him that, and then gave him that great promise. He says then, that's the promise of victory, by the way, before he ever gave him a condition. "You will go out, and wherever you put your foot, you will take, and you can go," and he gives them the borders, and then he tells them, "I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be victorious." And then he tells them in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." This is what you find for Joshua over and over again. Be strong and of good courage. Be willing to step out and do what God's called you to do. And I think about Joshua, and I think of him back in Numbers when he's ready to go into the promised land, and he is strong and he is courageous. I wonder if when Moses said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous," and told the people, "Encourage him," I wonder if Joshua was like, "Haven't I proven I'm strong and courageous? We were one of the only ones who were willing to go in to the promised land." But maybe Joshua isn't as tough as we think Joshua is. Maybe Joshua is scared. Maybe he's like an Old Testament Timothy. Maybe he is timid. And God is saying, be strong and be courageous. Maybe 40 years has brought a change in Joshua. When we're young, we have a tendency to be brass. When we get older, we have a tendency to be more careful. Maybe years have changed him. Nevertheless, God says to him that he needs to continue what he had done when he was a young man. And that's first of all to be strong. Be willing to stand up and do what God's called you to do and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. This will not be the last time he hears that, by the way. That you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. What is he to be courageous in doing? What is he to be strong in doing? In obeying the word of God that he received from Moses. The Bible tells us that God's word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That it works in the hearts of those who believe. That if we will meditate on it day and night, it will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatever we do will prosper. He doesn't just tell Joshua, be strong and courageous, and we think of him going to the promised land, leading an army, being strong and courageous, and having the boldness to go out and do it. But be strong and courageous to do all that is written in the commandment, all the law. Boy, that's a command that each one of us can receive, that we would be strong and courageous. That we would say, you know what? When God tells me to do something, I want to do it. And I believe that if we have that kind of faith, I believe that our lives will never be the same. I believe that if we have the faith to say, God, you show me what you want from me, and I will do it. The things that the Bible tells us that we are to have as a priority, loving God, loving one another, loving our enemies, and that if we do that, we will fulfill all that is in the law and the prophets. Sometimes we get in our mind what it is that we should be doing. We get our list of rules of do's and don'ts. We turn into people who are extremely legalistic. When you are in love with God, you're going to want to do what's right because you love him. And when you're in love with people, you're going to treat people right because you love them. So love is that main call that God's given us in our lives. And Jesus said it. What are the two greatest commandments, right? A lawyer came to Jesus, and this is a question a lawyer would ask Jesus. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment of them all? What did he say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He added Leviticus. Both of them were quotes from the Old Testament, by the way, one Deuteronomy and one Leviticus. That's what God's called us to do. Are you courageous enough to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are you courageous enough to love the people around you? To say, what does love tell me to do? That's the point of Joshua chapter 1. Not that he was courageous to go out into battle. There have been many soldiers who have been courageous to go out into battle, many soldiers who have perished in the battle, many soldiers who have gained victory in the battle. But the courage to say, Lord, speak to me, show me what you want, and I will do it. I think that's a rare thing in the church today. I think it's a rare thing among people that there are those who are willing to say to God, just speak to me, God, tell me what you want from me. Show me what you want from me, and I'll do it. And I believe that God honors it every bit as much as he's going to tell Joshua that he's going to honor this as well. Look at what he says. He says, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What's God's desire for him? The desire is that he would keep the command of the word of God, that he would be able to prosper wherever he goes. See, Joshua is called by God. He is called to do what God wants him to do. And so he's called to go wherever he wants him to go. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosper, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? What an incredible promise. Now, God's talking to Joshua during the time of the Old Testament. He's under the law. He's going to go in. They're going to establish the law, and they're keeping the law. You and I are not under the law. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that once the tutor has brought you to your parents, you no longer need the tutor, and the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Jesus fulfilled the law. He finished it. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't given us His word, that God hasn't given us His promises, that God hasn't told us how life is supposed to be lived. As Christians, if we were to look at one thing that we are to do that's going to enhance our walk and help us to discover all that God wants, it's in meditating, reading, studying, learning the Scriptures. It's in the Word of God. Now, I know you would expect a Bible teacher to say that, right? You're like, I came to church and the preacher told me that I needed to memorize Scripture. Shocking. I know that. But listen, this is what the Word of God says. If you'll take time to learn it, to meditate on it, to find direction from God's word. What does God want me to do tomorrow? What does God want me to do today? How can I live the word of God today in my life? Then the promise to Joshua was, you will prosper and you will have success. And this is repeated to us in Psalms chapter 1. So I don't think that there's any way that this is not applicable towards us. We're not trying to keep the law. And I got to say to you, I'm really glad we're not trying to keep the law. I don't want to keep the law. I want to have that grace relationship. I want to have that love relationship with God. Nevertheless, His word is so valuable and so rich. And let me just encourage you again to be one who memorizes the Bible. There are memorizing apps on your phone. You could take some time to look them up right now if you want to. I give you permission to look on your phone while I'm teaching, and to look up the apps that help you to memorize, and just go through and memorize the ones that are there. There are apps that you can memorize on your phone, and then you can add in other scriptures. You could be reading through them. When I was a young Christian, I attended a very legalistic church for a while. And in this legalistic church, you had to read 2 chapters of the Bible every day. And if you didn't read 2 chapters a day, and God wasn't going to bless you. You weren't going to see the power of God. But if you would read 2 chapters of your Bible every day, then fire would shoot out from your fingertips. You would be used by God in great ways. So I would read 2 chapters a day faithfully, whether I understood it or not, whether I remembered it or not. Because sometimes I'm tired, but I got to get my 2 chapters out of the way. And so blah, 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 blah. So finally, I came back to reading the Scriptures regularly. I came back to reading until I got something. Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to read my 2 chapters. I'm going to put them in. I'm going to 2 chapters a day. I'm a 2-chapter-a-day guy. But just reading until I got something. And so I did 2 things. Number one, I would put a small dash when I got done reading a section. That way I didn't have to stop at the end of a chapter. I could stop when I felt like I had received something from God. Number two, I would put a star by something I wanted to memorize. I would look for something that I could memorize so that later on I could go through my Bible. That Bible's long gone by now. I don't know where that Bible's at. But later on I could go back through that Bible and I could see passages that I thought were important enough to invoke to memory. And I got to tell you, over 30 years of preaching, those are the passages that come out over and over again. The ones that I've put into memory in my personal time. Another thing that I would do is underline when God spoke to me. And I wouldn't stop reading until I was spoken to by God. It's amazing how when you're tired, how you can be spoken to in the first few verses. I'm joking a little bit, but I'm kind of not joking too. I'm serious. You're like, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. So you got it. You know, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So you get it out and you start doing it. You're like, oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can memorize that one. Uh-huh. Little dash. I'm done, Lord. And then stopping and setting my heart upon God. But the real question is, not are you reading 2 chapters a day, not are you reading through your Bible in a year. I'm not saying any of that's bad. I'm simply saying it can become legalistic, and legalism is always bad. But I'm saying, are you reading God's word to hear from it, to learn from it, saying, Lord, what can I receive from your word today? If you're reading your Bible to gain it, if you have that anticipation, that step of faith, I believe that God will touch your heart, and you will receive from God's word, and then when you're struggling, and then when you find that life is difficult, then you'll have the Word of God right there, and the Holy Spirit will bring them back up to you. When you go out and start to share with someone, The Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings scriptures back to our mind again. Once you've put them in, the Holy Spirit starts to bring them out and starts to use them again in our lives. What an incredible, powerful promise he had received here, and I think it speaks to us too. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth," verse 8, "but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it, for then it will make you prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wow, you put all of this together in the commission and the call of Joshua. You have God's word, his commandments, how he wants you to live. You don't have to question how God wants you to live. In years of counseling, you'd have people come in and, "I want to know what God's will is for my life. What does God want me to do here now? Does God want me to take this job, that job? Should I marry this person? Should I not marry them?" You know, I never found in the scriptures where it told me what car to buy, except when it said that everyone should be in an Accord, so I got my wife an Accord. Just kidding. She does have an Accord, by the way, and that's not why we bought it. But I can't remember where I was at. I knew it was going to happen tonight. I lost my train of thought. All right. So, I know. Okay. I'm coming back to it. It's coming back to me. Never did it tell me what kind of car to buy or who to marry, but it does tell you the kind of person to be while you're driving a car. And it does tell you the kind of person to be in your marriage. It tells you what kind of wife. It tells you what kind of husband. It tells you how you are to live your life, and it gives you everything you need, the Bible says, for life and godliness. If we'll believe it, are you courageous enough? Are you strong enough? Be strong and courageous to keep the word of God, to say, "I believe it." Put it to the test. Live it by faith. See what God has for you. Now, I love the next section as well. The next section is the children of Israel promising to do what they've called, what God called them to do. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go in and possess the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess.'" It's not going to waste any time. 3 days, they're going in to take the promised land. "But then the Reubenites and the Gadites and the tribe of Manasseh," Joshua spoke, saying, "Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you." Now, you remember that these 2.5 tribes had wanted land on the other side of the Jordan. And they'd gone to Moses and they said, "Can we have this land?" And eventually Moses says, "Yes, you can have the land, but you have to go into the promised land with us, battle and fight with us, and then you can go out and receive the land that we have already taken." And so he says to them, "Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, 'The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land, which Moses gave on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest.'" Moses thought, when they first decided that they wanted to do that, Moses thought, "You guys just don't want to fight. We've already taken this land." Remember, they had taken it from a giant king by the name of Og and another king in the area. This is the area of Bashan. You talk about the strong bulls of Bashan. This is an area in Jordan, the area of Bashan that they wanted to keep, which was a great range land for ranging cattle, and that's why the bulls were strong from that region. And so, but after Moses kind of rebuked them, they said, "No, we'll go over and fight. We just want this land. We believe that God's given us this land." And so in verse 15, "Until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given you, then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan, towards the sunrise." So they answered, saying, "All that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you, your command, and does not heed your words, in all that he commanded him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, I love this from the Gadites, the Manassites, and the Reubenites. I love that they said to Joshua, we'll do whatever you say. We'll follow you as we followed Moses. And if anybody doesn't do it, then they will be put to death. However, you be strong and you be courageous. See, all of us need people to follow. All of us lead people. All of us need someone to follow, and all of us lead people. There are always people in our lives that we look up to, that God uses to mentor and speak to us. We see their lives. We see them in Christ. Sometimes it's in personal relationships. Sometimes it's in a ministry like this. All of us need people who we look up to. And all we ask of the people that we look up to is be strong and courageous. Be strong enough. If you're going to lead people in a spiritual way, be strong enough to keep God's word. Be strong enough to do what God says to do in the scriptures. Have that strength. And then you may say, well, I don't lead anybody. Well, that's not true. What about your kids? What about your grandkids? You say, I don't have any kids. What about the kids you will have one day? What about the people around you? And what you will find is there are always people who will look up to you, who will follow you. What a way to think about it. We need you to be strong and courageous. I need the men that I look up to as a pastor to be strong and courageous. You need who you look up to be strong and courageous as we are willing to do what God's called us to do, to see where God will take us, to give us success, that we would prosper in all the things that God's given us. What an absolutely incredible picture. I had said, wow, what a command to give unto Joshua. Be strong and courageous and do all the things that God's told you to do. And what a command for us to think of, but also knowing that we would be strong and courageous. All of us on whatever level we are, because God uses us, we are the salt, we are the light of the earth, and God has called us to stand for him, that we would be used by him, and that we would be strong and courageous, strong enough to approach God's word, to say, Lord, speak to me. Whatever you say, whatever I find there, by faith, I'll do it and put God to the test and see if God doesn't come through. I think that if you were to step out and take those steps, cover that ground, wherever you put your feet, God will give you. See, just as Joshua was to walk through the land, wherever you put your feet in the Word of God, wherever you go, as you're looking through the Scriptures, wherever God's bringing you, and you grab a hold of the promises of God, those things God will give you, and he will always be with you to bring all of those things about. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for your Word. We thank you for how you have spoken to us today through this first chapter of the book of Joshua. And what an incredible book, first of all. Thank you that we can spend time in it. And what a man that you have called here, that he had a heart for you, that he was strong in command, that he was courageous as a spy. And Lord, you called him and you gave him this command that he would be an example for us, that we would be strong and courageous. Lord, we pray for our leaders here in this church. We pray that we would be strong and courageous to do what your word says, that we can live our lives in such a way that people would see you in it. Lord, I pray for the people who are here today, Lord, the people who attend this church, that they would be strong and courageous, that they would take your word and all that's there and live it wholeheartedly for you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, be strong and courageous. Wherever God leads you, go and possess the land that God has given you to take. Believe it. Believe it enough to do it and live it. And I believe that you will see God do great things, because mountains are moved when we live by faith, and faith is when you put trust in what God has said and you live out the things that God said. God bless you guys. I'm handing things back over to Paul. He's going to lead you in a final song and dismiss you. God bless you.